Hello, everybody, and welcome to Coffee Talks from Go Forth, a music education talk show. This is Season 2, Episode 3 with Summer
and Owen. And today, we have a Coffee Talk interview with Dr. Colleen Sears talking about gender and music education. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome, everyone, to Go Forth. My name is Logan Shippey. I have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Colleen Sears from the College of New Jersey to the show today. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And as I was just saying to you before, 70 degrees and sunny today here in New Jersey, which is our long-awaited spring and or the pollinating.
So I'd love to talk about your research into gender in music education, and specifically about female high school band directors. But first, I'd love to get kind of an overview, a background of your story, and maybe why you chose this research topic to focus on.
Sure. So I completed my undergrad degree a really long time ago in 2001, and then went straight to do a master's degree at the Eastman School of Music. And after I finished that up, I was, you know, ready to really commit to teaching full time. I had taught kind of part time as I was working on my master's thesis and things of that sort. And really, I had always wanted to become a high school band director. You know, I enjoyed lots of different levels of teaching, but at that point in my life, I really felt like I wanted to go into that realm. And so I started applying for both middle school and high school band jobs. And I started to definitely detect just something odd. It was a feeling that I couldn't really name or put my finger on specifically. But in a lot of the interviews that I was going on, I just had this distinct sense that I wasn't necessarily being taken seriously. So I went into one interview, and my interview panel spent the first 15 minutes of our time together talking about their favorite Dunkin' Donuts coffee flavors, and then asked me a couple, you know, just sort of basic questions, and then I was out the door. And I couldn't really help but feel that I had sort of just participated in some sort of courtesy interview, or, you know, really just kind of meaningless exercise. And so I could never quite nail down what sort of gave me that unsettled feeling. And as it turns out, I actually never got that high school band director job, but I did find a job as a middle school band director. And interestingly, even in that setting, as I would perhaps, for example, take my jazz band, my middle school jazz band, to a jazz festival, I would notice that I was the only female director there. There was one particular instance in this middle school position where the person I had replaced had been there for 35 years or so, something like that. And he came back one day to visit the school and sort of being taken around to say hi to old colleagues and whatnot. And when he came into my room and the principal introduced him to me, he literally shook my hand and looked me straight in the eye and said, "Wow, I just can't get used to all these female band directors around here." And, you know, that was the naming, really, just very, very upfront naming of this sensation that I just couldn't put my finger on, you know, ever. You know, why wasn't I getting these jobs when some of my male colleagues that I had graduated with, you know, who didn't have a graduate degree at that point, were getting them? You know, it was just this unsettled feeling. And I think that, you know, that instance and that handshake where he said that straight to me really just put it out there. And so, you know, that, and amongst other incidents, really drove my interest in this topic. And I always kind of had the question of, is it just me? You know, is it just something about me? Am I the only one that's experiencing this? Maybe it's all in my head, right? And I really wanted to find out the answer to that question. And so when I started my doctoral studies, I knew that I would explore something in the realm of gender research in music education. And it ended up settling on looking at the experiences of female high school band directors.
Yeah. And so through your research, have you gotten an inside look on why you weren't being taken seriously? Or what about the high school band director's job that is, why is it considered like a men's job?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, actually. It's, you know, there's layers. So, I mean, we look back into the history of just bands in general, you know, they're historically rooted in the military. And so, you know, there's that aspect of it. Like historically, when you look at gender issues, you know, from a historical perspective, especially as ensembles started to form in the United States, boys were encouraged to learn instruments and play together. And this was almost a thing to kind of keep them out of trouble, right? Get them into something productive. Whereas women tended to be trained to play piano or perhaps sing, these sort of practices to keep, you know, quote unquote, high culture in the home and attract a possible suitor, right? So I think, you know, right from the start of somewhat formalized music education in the United States, there was definitely a gender divide. And, you know, as we know from other aspects of history, those things don't just go away, right? That there's long lasting effects of things that happened centuries ago. So, you know, the military kind of history, kind of the distinction between how gender played in learning music to begin with. And then that coupled with, you know, when you look at the job of a high school band director, it is a very public facing position. It's sometimes particularly related to marching band, which is very sort of involved in community events. There needs to be sort of a very public presence. And I think somehow along the way, we started to associate those responsibilities with certain characteristics. So maybe extroversion, or maybe this notion of being assertive or aggressive, or, you know, really being able to tell it like it is and having like knowledge of football and being able to navigate lots of moving pieces. And a lot of these things kind of align with our notions of traditional masculinity, which is kind of praised, right? So when, for example, a man might, you know, be kind of forceful about something and speaking up for their program, it could be interpreted as, wow, you know, he really knows what he's talking about, or he's really, you know, advocating for the program. And if a woman says the same thing, some of my participants indicated this, that, oh, she's, you know, she's having a moody day, or she's just a bitch, or whatever it is, right? That the same type of behaviors are glorified on the masculine end and demonized really on when they're projected by a woman. So I get to get back to your question, you know, there's lots of different layers. And also one thing that came out of my work is just the amount of time that's required for these types of positions outside of the regular school day becomes a problem for people, men and women, anyone who wants to perhaps have a family or have a life outside of school. It becomes all consuming. And that is also glorified, right? This sort of captured as like passion for your work, and you'll give everything for this activity, but that comes at a cost. And, you know, some people might be able and willing to sign on to that. And for others, that might actually really, the notion of that might really impact what they want to do long term with their lives on a personal level, and might not be willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. And I'm going to focus in on a couple of the points you made, that's focusing on identity and the persona that a high school band director, like the assumed persona that one should have. So I would assume this would go for both genders. If someone gets into that position and the door is open and they get in and they have that position, but they themselves are not that, they are not aggressive or assertive, and they don't have like the presence that is typically associated with like the marching band. Mm-hmm. What can they do? Like, do they need to change themselves? Do they need to put up what happens then?
It's a complex question. And the participants that I work with for my dissertation study, which I should make a point that was 11 years ago now, that initial study is 11 years old, and a lot has changed in the world since then, and also changed in our profession since then. But in terms of the persona, some of my participants did feel that they had to change themselves. So even if they identified as sort of very traditionally kind of feminine, one of my participants said, you know, I literally dress myself to match the image I have in my head of who I need to be to do this job, right? So she wore like a man tailored shirt and Dockers and a brown belt and flat shoes and never heels, and, you know, literally would align how she performed her gender with what image she had in her head of the kind of expectations that come with this position. And she wasn't the only one who did that. Everyone kind of described a little bit of a performative aspect. And there's been a lot of research actually on teaching as performance and all of that. But this notion that she kind of had to put on, you know, her big girl panties and, you know, be a little bit more assertive, to use the title of the chapter. But other participants kind of echoed that sentiment too, that they really felt like they had to be aggressive, but also sometimes wanted to be, that like, I don't have to be timid. I can be loud and assertive on a marching band field and see what I can do. There was one participant who, as you kind of described and how you framed this question, who did not have any of those qualities and did not want any of those qualities. But she actually, it was so interesting to me how she framed that response, and she framed it from like a deficit paradigm. She felt kind of bad or inadequate that she didn't have that loud, aggressive, assertive kind of personality. She felt like she was at a disadvantage because she was sort of inherently more of an introverted, quiet person. And she said that she's, and it's been 11 years and this quote is still burned into my brain, where she said, I've had to find other ways to get what I wanted from my students. And I did that. I had to rely on building relationships with them so that they wanted to perform well and wanted to please me, essentially, and didn't want to disappoint me. And so I had to use my relationships with the students as kind of the way that she approached her teaching and her classroom management, which is good teaching, right? But exactly. I mean, that's just good teaching, but she felt very strongly that that was almost something she had to like compensate for, that she had a deficit and had to fill it with this other thing that wasn't as really as good. And in my eyes, that is exactly the thing we should have more of in the profession. So I will say, though, that I'm interested in how the field has changed. I can just speak anecdotally just to kind of the local high school band director scene in New Jersey over the past, you know, decade or so. And there have been people now that have, you know, straight up lost their jobs because of those aggressive, really abusive behaviors to students. And I think in the past, there was a lot of that that was just swept under the rug, right? Like, oh, the band performed great. And, you know, la, 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 we're not going to pay attention to what practices were used to get there. That I think, thankfully, has been not tolerated nearly as much. And so perhaps there's more of an opening now for some of the type of teaching that I'd like to see in the field.
Yeah, more opening, but I can speak anecdotally as well, and knowing recent graduates are still facing some of the same struggles. And even if the more out in the open acts of just like of sexism are kind of getting, you know, called out, just the smaller stuff is still slipping by, like just not giving any respect to like the female director of the school, while I know a lot of the male graduates are like just like rocking and rolling. They have no questions asked, you know.
That was one of the things that my participants in my dissertation study talked about too, that they felt like they had to be there longer to earn the respect of their students, whereas some of their male colleagues, exactly as you're describing, they felt like that respect was automatic. So yeah, that was definitely a theme that came out as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the passage of time, because I, you know, parallel to the culture being more culturally, you know, responsive and aware, I'm sure our music education programs and like what we're teaching future music educators is kind of getting away from the military general, you know, band director. At least I am at Gettysburg College. But, you know, I wonder what kind of shock that would be, like when I would graduate and maybe I go to a district that is the expectation, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Like, do I have to what? So I guess that is kind of a lead into my next question, not really, but as I, a cisgendered male guy who wants to be a middle school, high school band director, how can I be an ally when I'm in that position, if I get that position?
Mm-hmm. So I think the expectations of what I call traditional masculinity, but essentially like these behaviors that we're talking about, you know, this sort of rooted in this militaristic style of running an ensemble, I think that's bad for everyone, not just women, right? I think that it's actually destructive for everyone on the gender spectrum. And so certainly, you know, a cisgender male student who goes into one of those positions might not feel and probably doesn't feel comfortable in that role either, right? And so And it was interesting how you said here at Gettysburg College, I think it'd be interesting to see, like, kind of look regionally at practices. My sense is that it may be different as you go from place to place and what the expectations are and the extent to which there's an alignment between level of performance and technical prowess and all these things and like the teaching practices that go along with it, I think is an interesting dynamic to kind of explore. But in terms of how to be an ally, I would say modeling is very important. So not replicating a cycle and not, you know, for some of the women in my study, they felt like they had to, if they wanted to keep their job, they had to replicate that cycle. I do feel like perhaps people who identify as male might have a little bit more flexibility in that realm to break that cycle. For example, I can just kind of give an anecdote right now. I know several of male band directors who had enough with the extracurricular responsibilities. They were dropping their kid off at daycare at 6:30 in the morning, picking them up at 6:30 in the evening, eating dinner at home for a half an hour and going right back to rehearsal. They never saw their kids grow up. Wow. And so there's been more than, quite a few actually that I know that said, that's it, I'm out. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. And they said to their principal, like, somebody else needs to do the marching band. I'll do the school day job, but I cannot devote this kind of time anymore. And in those particular cases that I'm aware of, the administration said, okay. And they hired an assistant director and that person does, the marching band on the side. I don't know that a woman would have been given the same flexibility. I have the sense that perhaps it might be, well, maybe you shouldn't be in this job, then let's move you down to an elementary school, right? So I think when you have privilege to be able to kind of use it to break the cycle where you can, yes, is one important thing. And then secondly is related to this, but representation matters, right? Right from the beginning. And so things as simple as when you're doing an instrument demo for your students, how are you presenting those instruments? Are you showing people of color playing the instruments? Are you showing women playing trombones and tubas? Are you showing men playing flute, right? Yeah. Making sure that you show a range of all genders, all races, as you introduce students to not just, instruments, but conductors, right? To let them know that this is possible. To this day, I have never had a female conductor. I've literally never played under a female conductor. These kinds of things are important. I think that's an important thing that you can do for your students is bringing as much diversity into your classroom as possible. And then looking at various initiatives and how you might be able to help with that. There's a couple of organizations that are specifically devoted to women in the field of conducting. And so even making those opportunities known to your students can be really helpful, or colleagues or whatever it is. So I think those are a couple of like concrete ways that you could serve in an ally capacity. Of course, if you see blatant sexist behavior, then of course reporting it and checking in with the person who was on the receiving end of that and seeing how they're doing, those are more personal ways to be an ally. So I think there's lots of things that, really everyone can do.
Wonderful. So as we're getting closer to the end of this, I want to wrap up with a couple questions, one of which is, what are you working on going forward? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, excellent. So I actually have, I guess you could say, sort of three main research interests. I started obviously in the field of gender studies, and right now I'm really excited to be editing a book with my colleague at the College of New Jersey. It's not even public knowledge yet, actually, but we're going to be, it's essentially going to be a volume that compiles gender research in music education. And so probably as part of that, I would like to revisit my first cohort of dissertation participants a decade later.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to kind of get started on that and see just what, a decade later, what their perspectives are, how, if some of the things they experienced or shared with me at the time have changed and how time has kind of shaped their development in this field. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. That's a big long-term project. My gender research kind of opened the door to explore lots of different aspects of identity and how issues, systemic kind of issues that contribute, for example, to like systemic racism and sexism and homophobia and all these things, how can music and art really be a way that people can start to have dialogue about these issues? And so I run a group on campus at TCNJ called the Artivism Project. And that explores a variety of different social justice issues through interdisciplinary artistic lenses. And so we're really excited. This past year, all of our collaborations were around a poem by Claudia Rankine called Weather, which was published in the New York Times back in the fall, which explored the intersection of racial injustice and the pandemic and the political atmosphere at that time. And we actually are running a consortium project where a choral composer, Rollo Dilworth, is going to be writing a piece for choir and chamber winds. And we'll be doing the world premiere of that in the fall. And then along with that, I'm going to be developing a curriculum that can be used to sort of teach the piece and engage the audience in conversations around those topics. So I'm really interested in how the art itself can be a vehicle for people to talk about these issues.
The medium is the message.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's another project. And then the third part of my research, which is sort of separate, is I do a lot of work on trauma and grief in music education. And I just finished up a book chapter that'll be coming out hopefully later this year, talking about grief as transformation and a transformative experience while teaching.
So many exciting things. Cool. I hope to have you back on the show. Maybe we could talk about some of those.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to come back.
And if the viewers are or listeners are interested, I have also interviewed Dr. Dilworth on the show. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so wonderful to have you. All of the breadth and depth of your knowledge has been incredible.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Go Forth, a music education talk show. This was Summer.
And this is Owen. We hope to see you next week.
And until then, go forth and change the world.